That's right.
I think she might be a disciple.
All right. So,
there's another surprise
okay.
that comes later.
Cake.
Oh, I guess it's not a surprise.
Now it's a reality. It was Guyam. Now it has to be manifest.
It was a secret.
Anyway, so are there any questions?
Could you say something about the guru-disciple relationship?
Well, guru-disciple relationship is based on our relationship with Krishna. No? Otherwise, what is our relationship with Krishna? We are Krishna's eternal servants. No? So the guru-disciple relationship means a relationship where one learns how to serve Krishna unconditionally by serving Krishna's representative. Otherwise, the guru means someone who is representing Krishna. And of course, representing Krishna is no easy thing on the one hand, but Srila Prabhupada said it's very easy on the other hand. The guru just has to say what Krishna said. Don't add anything. Don't subtract anything. So that relationship is established when the prospective disciple finds someone who, of course, after examination, you know, one should be very careful to examine. It's not sentimental, it should be examination. This is the instruction that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave to Sanatana Goswami, that the guru should observe the prospective disciple and the disciple should observe the guru for some period of time. And when the disciple is convinced that this person is just speaking what Krishna is speaking, you know, nothing invented, nothing added, nothing subtracted, then, okay, so I can serve this person. You know. So, of course, the guru is also serving. You know. But that service, it's a difficult service because one has to accept things, but one is actually not accepting them. One is passing them on to Krishna. No. So it's a very serious step in Krishna consciousness that one establishes that relationship. But if one wants to serve Krishna, one has to learn how to serve Krishna. And the best person to teach us how to serve Krishna is that person who has already become expert in serving Krishna. Just like anything. In school, a professor is someone who is expert in the subject matter. So the spiritual master is that person who is expert in serving Krishna.
So,
yeah. Another a question? Yeah. You can ask Manana. Yeah.
Sure.
Really
talking about the false ego.
Uh-huh.
It does exist. And how to watch our own false ego in terms of actions and words and person who has, I mean, let's say if I have a false ego, I would deny because of my own ego, I would you know love to deny it, but because of my own ego, but. How to identify and how to make myself realize that I have a false ego and work on it. How to keep a watch on my own ego.
Well, there are two types of egos. The real ego and the false ego. False ego means false identification with something which you are not. That's why it's called false. Ego means I. So who I am. If you say I'm a woman, I am Indian, whatever you are, and I am 25 or 30, whatever you are, and a mother, and a daughter, and a sister, you are identified with something you are actually not. Because this refers to the body, and the body is different from you. So at the same moment that you identify with something you are not, then you are living and exercise in a false identification, a false ego. When you, through the process of purification, you understand and realize that you are, first understand and then you realize that you are different from this body, then you are living in a real ego dynamic. Because the capacity of identifying something is spiritual, it comes from the soul. This is a capacity. Just like in the spiritual world we have a mind, we have an intelligence, we have so many other things, we have consciousness, also we have a capacity of identification. So when you come in the material world, between yourself, the soul, and the external, it comes like something that transforms your capacities, the spiritual capacities, and it can come out like are you call it something that interpones and filter like a filter. Yeah. Then your real spiritual capacities come out wrong, come out material, come out false. And that is called false ego, or the material mind, or the material intelligence. So how you can destroy not the ego, but the false, the falsity of the ego, this false capacity, you know, of identify with something you are not. That is called the sadhana. Sadhana is the process of cutting, the process of eliminating. And the most important of all practices, spiritual practices, is the coming close with persons, sounds, food, places, which have a spiritual nature. Just like if you have a bar of iron that is cold and you want it to make hot, you have to put it to association. It's sangha. Ga in Sanskrit, ganga chati means to go. Asam means together. So sadhu sangha means you have to go where you find something that is spiritual. So you put the cold bar into fire, which is opposite of cold, it's hot. Then slowly by slowly you take the same characteristics. And it becomes cold, it becomes hot. So when you go to the temple, you chant Hare Krishna, you eat Krishna prasadam, you study the philosophy, and you do a service in the temple. This is very important, to do a service, because then you start identifying yourself with the temple. Otherwise, you're just a guest. You come and go. You feel like, well, I go to the temple. You should go to the temple like this is my home. Because I have a little something, a little tile, like one time I said, no? I am in charge of this tile. Every time I come to the temple, I clean that. You know? So we have hundreds of persons in charge of a little tile. Our temple would be as beautiful as Vaikuntha. So all these things are so important because it changes your the nature of your ego. And it works. It really works. It's miraculous. It's just a question of time. Every day, every week that you practice the complete process of Bhakti Yoga, you see that you just understand and realize that I this is not me. You see? And then your false ego, it just evaporates. But not the ego. The ego never evaporates. It's a spiritual characteristic. The falsity of your false ego that evaporates. Maharaj wants to say something.
Very good.
Is it like identifying the soul rather than identifying yourself?
Can you say it again?
Is it like identifying the soul?
The soul identifies, understands that it is a soul. Because you see, everything that it comes from you, it starts from a certain, it comes out. So if in the process of coming out there is something that tells you, no, you're not this one, you are something else. You look outside. You don't always look inside you. You don't look your body, you look outside. So if the capacity of identification comes out of you and is filtered by Maya, Maya in Sanskrit means Ma is a negation, means not. A ya, this. So Maya is the capacity, is a divine energy that does in such a way that suggests you that you are something external, something material, you see. And then this is what happens. We, pure spirit soul, we come in this material world, Brahmanda, Brahmi, Tekonya, Bhagavan, Jiv. Brahmanda means the universe, Brahmanda, Konya, Bhagavan, Jiv means it's a great fortune to find the devotees and the spiritual path. Guru, Krishna, Prasada, no? How you face the Guru, then Krishna, because without Krishna, without Guru, there is no Krishna. Guru is the nice question done before, is the most important relationship in human life. There is no other relationship which is more important, because it's through the grace of the spiritual master that you achieve Krishna. Krishna sends you the Guru, but he is hidden. He sends you the Guru, but you don't know that Krishna has been Krishna who sent you. So you find your Guru and say, who sent it to me? Who sent him to me? It just came from divine grace or something. It was Krishna. Why Krishna sent it? Because you desire it. Then the Guru comes and the Guru changes your life. And unless you don't understand the sacrality and the depth, the importance of this, most important, is not any majority is enough to describe the importance of Guru, this Guru Shisha. A Guru and the disciple, the spiritual master and the disciple relationship. Unless we don't understand the importance of this relationship, we don't go anywhere. Guru Krishna Prasadya Pai Bhakti Lata. Bhakti Lata is the devotion. And beach, who puts the beach? Who puts the seed in the heart? Well, actually, the seed is already there, it's in the heart. It's eternally there in the heart. But the Guru gives the blessings. And you accept the Guru, and this seed begins to fructify. And one day, the Bhakti Lata, the creeper of devotion, becomes a tree, it becomes solid, it doesn't fall anymore. Even if it comes a big storm, it doesn't fall down anymore. So, anyway, there is many things to say about all these topics, which are very interesting. Nice, this guess.
I was just wondering, sometimes it may happen that our spiritual master may not be happy with us. No, we just feel only like that. So in that situation, how do we, means we are doing our sadhana, whatever, but still we feel that there is a disconnect.
Srila Prabhupada said that one should be very happy to be chastised by the spiritual master, because that means that one will make advancement. Mm-hmm. If there's no desire to be corrected or chastised, or depending on one's position, then there's no desire to advance. Just like in Srila Prabhupada's case, I saw that those persons who did most service for him got chastised more than anybody else. Because Srila Prabhupada had faith that he could correct them and they would be able to take it. There were other devotees, I know at least two that I can think of, that they could never take any chastisement. Prabhupada would just kind of pat them on the head and say, chant, it'd be okay. So we should be very happy. Of course, if we feel like we're disconnected, or then that is the impetus to improve, to advance, to better ourselves. Just like a child or anyone. What is a father? Father doesn't like to chastise the child, but, or the mother and father, but they do it. And they do it because the You know, this is the way that the child advances. When a child is not playing in the, you know, in some place, they're not making much advancement in life, they're not learning things, they're not, you know, they're just wasting time. But it's just part of the maturing process. But when we're in school, when someone's instructing us, then we learn very quickly. And especially when we make a mistake, we learn very quickly. You know, if we get the proper instruction, proper correction, we take it in the proper mood. So the important thing is to create the proper mood, you know, take the proper attitude to being, to improving and correcting ourselves. Then that feeling that the spiritual master may not be totally satisfied with me will become my impetus to improve. Because many people make the mistake of thinking, oh, the guru is not satisfied with me, then let me just go away. No, let me just, you know, I don't want to be a disturbance, I don't want to be a problem, so let me just go away. And then they don't make any advancement. It's very important to take advantage of those opportunities to advance the devotional service. Of course, we shouldn't try to disprove, you know, let me advance and I'll just try to displease the guru as much as I can, and then I'll make some advance. We try to please them. But if we're sincere, if we're chanting, Srila Prabhupada said, if you're chanting 16 rounds, following the four regulative principles, you know, then any mistake we make will be, you know, an opportunity to advance. Of course, if we're not following anything and we're just complete nonsense, then, you know, then displeasing the guru becomes an offense, and that can be our downfall. But if we're trying to follow, if we're doing our best, you know, then it's an opportunity to advance. Yes?
Can you, in terms of finding who your guru is, when you have a, if a spiritual master comes to you in a dream, could that possibly signify something, or not always?
It could possibly. It doesn't mean that necessarily that is the confirmation. I mean, many people tell me they dreamed about Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or, you know, Prabhupada, you know. Those are all very positive, auspicious moments. If we can dream about a Vaishnava, we can dream about Krishna, we can dream about devotional service, you know. But it doesn't mean that this is the confirmation. Srila Prabhupada never took dreams very, very seriously. The only time I remember that he spoke about dreams was two times. He spoke about the dream of his spiritual master came to him and said, you have to take sannyas. No. And another time when he was on coming to the, you know, the West, and he had his two heart attacks. And Krishna appeared in a dream and said, don't worry, I will carry you, I will take you. Take you there. Otherwise, Srila Prabhupada didn't speak so much about dreams. No. Some of us are very enamored by dreams, and it's confirmation. It may be a confirmation. But just like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, even after he was requested to write about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked the deity, and even after the deity, then he again took permission from the Vaishnava. So even if we have some dream, we should try to confirm it in a practical way. And not just think, oh, I had this dream, that's an absolute confirmation of something.
So you just like...
The most important thing is to do, like I would recommend, especially for that, if you read chapter, I'm trying to remember which chapter it is. Is it 20? Which chapter is it where Mahaprabhu in Madhya Lila, where he instructs Sanatana Goswami about, I can't remember, one of those chapters, like
15 maybe,
25, 26, something like that, 20,
24.
There is a 5 in that.
Yeah, so it's like the last few chapters of Madhya Lila. If you just look in there, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada gives, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives very nice instructions about what we should look for in the spiritual master, and what the spiritual master should look for in the disciple, and many, many things. Of course, all through Srila Prabhupada's books. Actually, there's one book which I don't know if we have in the temple, The Spiritual Master and the Disciple. Do we have that? When we have that in a Veda base. No. So if you read from that book, it gives many wonderful instructions. Srila Prabhupada gives very practical instructions. But the main thing is, as Manonath Prabhu said, that it's actually Krishna that reveals. So if we want to know who the spiritual master is, we pray to Krishna. Pray by chanting the holy name, by sincerely praying to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, please tell me who can connect me to you, to the parampara, to Krishna. Just that sincere prayer. And by doing sincere devotional service, that's the best thing. Not trying to have some mystical experience, where things will be revealed. Because Krishna reveals things in a very practical way. And that's how Srila Prabhupada taught us. He was very practical. Srila Prabhupada wasn't so much into mystical revelations. Although certainly there were many mystical revelations, and there will be in our lives, but the main thing, we should confirm everything in a practical way. Then we'll be certain.
Does it sound to you?
Yeah.
We have quite a vast literature, actually, on dreams. There are entire stories, very important stories, actually, like, for instance, the Madhavendra Puri story, and so many stories, which are driven by Krishna intervening, or the Guru intervening in dreams. But to be sure of the purity of the information that you get from the dream, you have to be a pure devotee. If you are a pure devotee, then you are sure that that dream is, like Maharaj was saying, the stories of Srila Prabhupada dreaming, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, or Sri Krishna in person coming. We cannot doubt that those were actually messages from his guru and Sri Krishna, because we are talking about a pure devotee at the maximum level. In our case, we are mixed devotees, which means we have some purity or we have some type of contamination yet. So in this case, you cannot be sure what is the percentage of purity or contamination in your dream. It can be anything. It can be 90% of purity, 10% of it. You don't know. So since you don't know, it is not possible actually to know and to divide the purity from the impurity, then that's why Maharaj very correctly is saying that it's not a tool or that we should take much seriously. It might be, but since it's a questionable thing, better that we don't give too much importance, and we take two more sure processes. For instance, first of all, praying to Krishna in our heart, please send me my guru. But also looking, examining the guru to see if he's actually free from all material desires. It's very simple. The guru shouldn't fly in the sky or manifest, multiplying wine, bread, it's not what the guru should be. The guru should basically have complete knowledge, should know the shastras, and should be pure. Pure means no material desires. So if you detect this absence of material desires and complete knowledge, then he's qualified. At that point, you found the guru, but you have not found yet your guru. It might be different. It might be that in your life you meet 10 or 20 gurus, which are all equally qualified, but your guru is another thing, is another world. because that is the world of a personal, internal, spiritual relationship. But since we are not pure, that kind of emotional, which is spiritual, emotions are necessarily material, it may be spiritual. But since we don't know yet what is spiritual and what is material in our heart, then we should be in a certain sense a little practical. You know, if once that we determine that this person is pure, no material desires, not even a little speck, and no ignorance, then at the point we may accept him as a Diksha Guru or a Siksha Guru, even if yet you have not understood if it is your spiritual master. Because spiritual master is a dynamic thing. It's not necessarily your Diksha Guru, which is going to be the main guru of your life. Maybe you take initiation from a pure devotee, and you go for 10, 20 years with him, and one day you find your guru, and he is going to be your main guru. It's a Siksha Guru. Siksha Guru, Diksha Guru, there is no difference. We are accustomed in the West especially to make the difference. The only guru is the one who gives me the name. That's it. Everyone else is just area. It's not like that. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was duly initiated by Srila Vipinavihari Goswami, which was a great devotee in the line of Gadadhar Pandit. And he served this guru for many, many, many years. Then one day he found this the main guru of his life, which was Jagannath Das Babaji. That doesn't mean that he disrespected his guru in any way, but it was a fact that in his life, Jagannath Das Babaji had a predominant position. So my personal advice or suggestion, which is just my take it as one value, one vote, let's say, just try to find a pure devotee. And a knowledgeable devotee, and take and purify yourself thanks to him. And then one day it might be that he is your guru, or maybe you just wait that one day through purification you recognize your eternal guru or the main guru of your life. But that's just me.
Thank you.
Oh, maybe we can go to the next step.
What do you think, man? Should we move on with the program?
And we can still have more questions if people want. But we can take this out.
Yes, we are moving on with the program. And if you have further questions, that can be done also later time. I believe our next time is open. Much else?